much, both of you, for your readings. So we are today continuing our journey through Acts. And as I've been praying about this over the last couple of weeks, I really feel that the thing I need to talk to you today is the fact that both Paul and Jesus really talk about compassion and show compassion. And that compassion then leads to action. So I want to talk about that today. I don't know what fills you with compassion, whether there are things on the news or on documentaries that make you cry. For me, it's usually things to do with children, and like a picture of these street children, or images of children caught up in war, like these images from Syria, which we know has been going on for so long. And of course, right now, it's the image of George Floyd being pinned down that moves us both to compassion, but also to anger. And we know that in the last couple of weeks, this has led to all sorts of actions, some positive and some negative. And what we want is a long-term change to the huge inequalities that exist across our world in so many different ways. We know that racial inequality is a problem not just in the USA, but here in the UK and in many other places in the world. But we also know that this is just one of the many inequalities that exist in our world. The question for us when we see these images or we hear these stories that move us and make us cry is, what do we do about it? This is a quote from a man who was leading a team working with street children in Brazil. He said, "Pity cries, then goes away. Compassion stays. Pity cries, then goes away. Compassion stays." So we want to be filled with compassion. I think it's when we allow the compassion of God to fill us and flow through us that we're really moved to make a difference in our world, in our community, and even among our friends. In our gospel reading today, we read that Jesus spent lots of time with the people. He got to know them. It says he went from town to town. He preached in the synagogues. He taught them and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and he healed their sicknesses and diseases. But then it goes on to say that Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus was moved with that compassion because he saw how much the people were in need, physically, emotionally, but also spiritually. They were searching after God. They needed people to explain the good news of the kingdom to them. And then what about Paul? I don't know about you, I sometimes think of Paul as a bit of a tough guy because we know that he was a persecutor of Christians before he came to know Christ for himself. But here in this passage, I was really struck that twice it says that he was moved to tears. And he comes across as really having a genuine love for the people of Ephesus. And it's clearly a love that's reciprocated, because at the end of that passage that Helen just read to us, the last thing they say is that they all cried and didn't want him to leave. And it was the tears that they were crying were about the fact that he was going to leave them, not about the things that they were struggling with. And I was really struck that Paul is adamant that he's going to continue with the mission that God has given him, even though he says the Holy Spirit's warned him that in every city he's facing hardship and prison. So what is it that drives Paul? It's the task that he's been given. And it says in verse 24, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Paul was only too aware of the grace of God at work in his life. He was the person who had stood by and given approval to the stoning of Stephen to death. And yet, God chose him to be the apostle to take the good news both to the Jews and the Gentiles. He forgave his sins, he wiped away the past, and filled Paul with his Holy Spirit to carry out that task. And I think that the grace that Paul received from God became foundational to everything else that he did. It was the knowledge of that grace, the compassion that God had shown to him, that enabled him to show that same compassion to others. And we see again in verse 32 that Paul speaks to the elders of the importance and benefits of recognizing God's grace in their lives. He says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." This week, Bruce sent me an image of an acroprop, and Bruce and Helen's house is currently being held up by acroprops. And I thought about this as I wrote my talk. I think the knowledge of God's grace shown in his compassion was like acroprop for Paul. It was absolutely foundational. So what is grace? A few different quotations from people describing grace. B.B. Warfield said, "Grace is free sovereign favour to the ill-deserving." Or John Stott said, "Grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues." From Jerry Bridges, "Grace is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against him." Or I think I like this one best, from Paul Zahl, "Grace is unconditional love toward a person who does not deserve it." Grace moved Paul from being an exemplary Pharisee who followed the letter of the law to being a believer in Jesus, someone who was filled with love and compassion. His encounter on the Damascus Road left him in no doubt that Jesus was the Son of God, and that in his death and resurrection, he had paid the price for all our sins and made a way for us to be in relationship with God for all time. You just have to read his many letters to see the way in which the Holy Spirit worked through his life and ministry from that time onwards. His description of love in 1 Corinthians 13 is for me an overwhelming picture of someone who knows and understands the true meaning of grace and is so filled with compassion and love for others through the power of the Holy Spirit that he cannot help but put that love into action. So what about us? Do we understand the power of God's grace? That through his unconditional love for us, God has made a way for us to have that relationship with him for all time. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not because we're perfect or because we try hard, but because he loves us unconditionally and sent Jesus to die for our sins. And this is something that I think we all know at some level, but which perhaps no longer impacts us in the way that I think it should. Several times in the Gospel, and again in Acts, Jesus tells the disciples that this is their mission, to go out and make disciples of all nations. And right here in that passage, we read this again today. Jesus encourages the disciples that the harvest is plentiful. People want to hear the good news. It just needs enough workers to deliver it. We know that in this sad time of COVID pandemic, people are searching after God in ways that they haven't done for a long time. And there's a real sense in which the harvest is plentiful right now. But it's up to us, God's workers, to go out and tell other people in our community, our friends, our relatives, the good news of the gospel. At St. James, the vision that we believe that God has given us is to be living God's love through prayer and worship and in our community. When we talk of living God's love, that means allowing his love to transform us so that it becomes foundational to the way that we live our lives and all that we do, a bit like that acroprop. I started by looking at some images of things that stir up in me feelings of compassion. But I know there are so many things that I don't really feel the same way about. And I think the starting point for many of us, including myself, is to ask God to fill me afresh with a real compassion for those who don't know of God's love for them, those who are facing this crisis on their own, those who really need the love of God revealed in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to help them right now. If I'm going to be really living God's love, I need to acknowledge again God's grace for me and to be filled with his compassion for others in the same way that Jesus was and that Paul was, so that I can't help but want to tell them about Jesus. So that's what I'd love to pray for us now. So let's pray. Father God, we just want to confess to you the times when we don't see the world through your eyes, when we don't see people through your eyes. Lord, I pray that you would fill us up again with compassion. Not just pity, but real compassion, your love for others that we meet. And Father, we pray that you would give us the words to tell them just how very much you love them too. Make us bold, Lord, to carry out that commission that you have given each one of us, to go out and tell your good news to across the nations, to everybody that we meet. And just start today, Lord, we pray, by giving us that compassion for everyone around us. Amen.
Amen.
So we are, so I'm going to stop recording.